Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is May 5th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot going on in the show, and we're going to tell you all about it. But first, I want you to know, like I always tell you, I always get my cup of fresh Joe from the Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. And I was talking to Becky, and they got another special going on. 2 28-ounce Gatorades, 2 for $3. So if you're needing some of the electrolytes, go on there to CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron, grab yourself 2 28-ounce bottles of Gatorade for $3. Get your coffee, smokes, whatever it takes to get your day started. We're also simulcasting on KRXT 98.5 out of Rockdale, and of course right here at KMIL 105.1 FM. If you want to give us a call here at the studio, the number is 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Be sure to go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check out the Facebook page. Like us there. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gunshop. And follow us on Instagram. So there's a whole bunch of different ways to check us out. Lots of videos, lots of information, lots of good things to check out, learn, and experience. So let me give you a highlight of what's coming up for today's show. We're going to have, once again, 3 true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. But instead of reading a pre-written commentary, I thought Trey and I would discuss it live. So we're going to see how that goes. I'll read the stories, and then at the moment, we'll just see what the emotion comes up or the knowledge that we have, and we'll just talk about it on the radio. Today's License to Carry attorney segment will discuss retrials. It seems as though the court will go after you until they get their way. So attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will break it down for us. Lots of stuff going on this month, so get your calendars ready. I'm going to give you a handful of dates to remember during the topic of interest segment, and you can become part of those activities. Once again, the delicious Janae Goodman will give us another segment of tactical snacking. Janae will continue this week with more dehydrating food, and that's an important skill to know for preppers or basically anyone. Then at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the giver of goodness, the provider of practicality, the sharer of simplicity.
Deacon of decency.
Yeah, there you go. That's another one. Retired police chief Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight is the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and take a look at this very nice concealment handgun. It has a lot of nice features for being such a small handgun, so I'll be talking about that probably at around, sometime during the show. We'll figure it out. Since nobody wanted to come out and play today, it's going to be me during the interview segment reading articles that have piqued my interest or just raised an eyebrow. And me and Trey are going to talk about it. Trey and I are going to be talking about it. So feel free to call in with any questions or comments. Then to close up the show, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will show us more methods of self-defense while using me as practice target. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. From all your comments, too many of you are enjoying when Master Key beats the crap out of me. I just had somebody the other day say, oh yeah, that's my favorite segment. All right, so let's start the show. So strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, tell everyone you know to listen, and let's just start getting this thing going, and we're going to do it with true stories. Trey, you ready? I'm going to read a story, and let's just see what comes to mind here. This is story number one. Swansboro, North Carolina, lost a little of its small-town charm one day in February when a law enforcement officer and someone he had pulled over for a traffic violation got into a tussle. Fortunately for the officer, Aaron Thompson, an armed citizen who was not too far behind, prevented the situation from escalating. Thompson had been on patrol when he noticed a box truck being driven erratically. The vehicle pulled over when Thompson flashed his lights and siren, but when the police officer exited his car, the truck driver drove off. Thompson caught up with the vehicle, stopped again. This time, the police officer ordered the driver out of the truck and took him to the side of the road where the culprit started fighting or pulling away from the officer. According to Swansboro Police Chief Ken Jackson, a passing armed citizen saw the two men wrestling in the roadside ditch. He stopped his car, grabbed his Smith & Wesson handgun, and yelled at the scoundrel to stop resisting. Upon noticing the gun, the suspect complied. Trey, what's your initial reaction to that story?
At least he wasn't dumb enough to continue a fist fight in a gunfight.
Okay, I get you there. But the problem is the officer had a handgun.
Yes.
So why didn't that guy get fearful from the officer's handgun? How did the officer get in that position where he wasn't able to utilize his...
You know, if I'm just reading between the lines here, I imagine when the officer approached him, at the time he hadn't been threatening, and the officer was getting ready to handcuff him, and that's when the fight started. Well, if you're in the middle of a fight and you start trying to draw your handgun, there's a chance you can lose control of that.
Well, it's a good thing that the passerby had the firearm. He had a Smith & Wesson. I'm wondering if it was a Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380. I guess we'll never know, huh?
We'll shameless plug here.
Shameless plug. All right, well, that's interesting. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry, or if you got a gun in your car and you don't have a license to carry, which is illegal as long as it's concealed, just remember, you can potentially be of aid to an officer in need, or anybody else for that matter, but just make sure you know what you're doing, get your training in there so that you're not a hindrance or a problem added onto the problem already existing. Story number two. In a second recent case of an armed citizen helping out law enforcement, a Utah police officer was scuffling with someone near a clothing donation collection bin. Well, that was a terrible way to read that. Officer was scuffling with someone near a clothing donation collection bin. A passerby who was carrying a concealed handgun did what a law-abiding gun owner would be expected to do. He stopped his car, got out, aimed at the assailant, and yelled at him to stop. The man scurried off and was later arrested and charged with assaulting a law enforcement officer. The officer sustained a fractured eye socket and lacerations. All right, Trey, what's your thought on that one?
Seems to be a unifying theme here in these stories you're reading.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking law enforcement should be very grateful that they've got law-abiding citizens who have license to carry, just as law-abiding citizens should be grateful for an officer willing to put himself in a situation that others may run from. So it's one hand washes the other. I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
I watch your back, you watch mine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, watching each other's back. But, you know, in a society that is not ill, a society that works, everybody should be looking out for everybody else.
That's right.
That's how it should be.
And not pull out your camera and take a video. All right, story number three. Law-abiding citizens who have a firearm to protect themselves or their loved ones typically use the gun only as a last resort. This was apparently the case in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when the owner of a liquor store was being robbed, tried other options first, but eventually ended up shooting an armed thief. The man entered the store with a shotgun, and the owner's daughter cooperated with his demands for money, giving him access to the cash register. Video surveillance showed that the thug began to leave, but came back. While he was moving away, the owner joined her daughter behind the counter and grabbed a gun. They crouched behind for cover until the bad guy came back around to them, and then the owner fired. The troublemaker backed off, but came back, grabbed the owner, pistol-whipped her, and tried to wrestle the gun from her. At that point, her adult daughter shot the intruder, ending the situation. My commentary is...
training.
Don't jack with your mother's daughter, man.
Mine is training. You shot him the first time, it should have been over.
You would think. There's a lot of factors that can go into that. You know, the guy's high or something like that, or if you got a smaller caliber. I've got a video up on my Facebook page that talks about, does size really matter? And sometimes a small caliber may not do the job, but it gets the job done enough for you to get away. And the whole purpose of protecting yourself, you know, is to stop the threat.
A small caliber may not do it with one shot, but
multiple shots.
How many handguns are just one shot?
That's right. So a lot of different ways to look at it. The bottom line is this. If you're going to carry, be proficient with your firearm, and accuracy counts. All right, so that's three stories of self-defense. Take notes and learn off of those what to do and what not to do in situations like that. Now, I've got an opinion piece, and I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to read it again this week. May raise some eyebrows. I don't know. Snot-nosed and wet behind the ears. That's what I call it this week. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how the brothers can call each other the N-word and get away with it. You know how family members can fight with each other, but will all come together if they try to fight one of them? Well, what I'm about to talk about is no different, because I once too was a snot-nosed and wet behind the ears kid. And because of that, I can call most of you young ones snot-nosed and wet behind the ears. Of course, there are exceptions, but in this day and age, they are few and far between. I'll confine you snot-nosed kids to the ages of 17 or younger, because the law states you're still a child at that age, but it could be very easily pushed to 21 or older for purposes of this opinion piece. And remember, it's an opinion. At this young age, your life experiences are limited. You may be aware of current events, but your life experiences are most likely undeveloped as to how to apply or handle events that happen. Case in point is gun control. You're listening to or reading information that is mostly coming from a biased news source that for some reason is anti-gun. This nation has a long history, and part of that history is our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I don't care one bit what your opinion is of it or gun control on this subject, because the studied true meaning and purpose of our Constitution and our gun rights are protected for the main purpose of defending ourselves, our loved ones, our property from danger, and from our government if it goes rogue. Your soft flower petal feelings of blaming guns is contrary to what we're all about. The goose is the Constitution. The golden eggs are the Bill of Rights. Everything else is open for debate. Stop trying to strangle the goose due to ignorance. This country does not have a goose or an egg problem. It has a mental issue problem. If you want to have a debate or discussion, let's talk about that. Pharmaceuticals, big pharma, for the purpose of profits, are cramming drugs down our throats for any and every reason. This, from studied analysis, is one of the main reasons people are going off and committing deadly crimes. So instead of whining about inanimate objects that do no harm unless a crazy person uses it, start screaming mental health. Take your youthful energy and direct it in a way that can make a difference. Because if you take the guns away, these crazies have trucks, cars, knives, bombs, anything to use to get the same results. All right, Trey, with that, let's take a break. And when we come back on the other side, hopefully we'll have attorney extraordinaire Bent Ross Watson, and we'll be talking retrials and how come it can happen and is it fair and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
A trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's May 5th, 2018, and to my left, I have attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson. Ross,
good
morning.
All right.
How you doing this week, man?
Oh, man, it's good. It's a good week, man.
How you doing today?
I'm glad to be here booking it, man. We've been really crazy, so it's been fun, though.
It's great to have either one of you guys.
Glad to be here. Can you hear
me? We got a little trouble with the mic, so we're going to be playing with it a little bit. If you hear some kind of crackling noises, we're probably moving around, making a connection. Okay.
Testing.
All right. Trey, somebody made a comment to me, or I was having a conversation with somebody, and Bill Cosby came up. And it was said that... and it came up that he was tried once, and then... something about a mistrial, and he got retried again. And I brought up the question. I said, man, how do you do that? How do you try somebody? And then they got to go through the process all over again. So I don't want to talk about Bill Cosby. I'm just using him as an example of a current case that was retried. And I wanted to talk to you, and maybe you could explain to everybody how this works, where if somebody's going to court to be tried, and then for some reason they're able to get off, whether it's a mistrial or a hung jury or whatever. How is the court allowed to bring you back?
Unless proven guilty, okay?
Uh-oh, there's the phrase right there. All right, let's talk about it. Clarify.
By the way, it's unless and not until. Okay, so unless.
That's a big one right there, too. That's a huge word. Say that again.
The phrase is actually innocent unless proven guilty, not innocent until proven guilty.
Okay, that's still big.
Because until is like we can just try you over and over and over and over.
Well, it seems like they're using the word until.
It insinuates a bit of inevitability.
Yeah. This is what's going to be. Yeah. But this is, prosecutors and judges say this all the time. I mean, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I catch myself saying until sometimes, right? The phrase has gotten publicized, but it's unless. Unless proven guilty. And we have to remember that. We have to remember what our system really is based on fundamentals. But as far as... The retry, I wish I knew more about the Cosby case. I don't know. I didn't even know he was tried to begin with. I thought this was the first case. I have not been keeping up with it.
Well, and a thing of disclosure, I was told it was retried. I did not go and do it, but it doesn't matter. Let's just say somebody's been retried.
Okay, you're not the only person that has said that, but I really don't know any kind of circumstances around the case. But double jeopardy. Double jeopardy keeps you from being retried over and over and over again, so to speak. But...
due to my ignorance, can you explain what double jeopardy terminology actually means 100%?
So, jeopardy, when you go on trial and your life is at stake, your liberty is at stake, it's a jeopardy. We consider it to be jeopardy when the jury is going to judge you. And so if you're going to be judged and you started the judgmental type of process right through the court system, that's jeopardy. That's put your liberty in jeopardy.
Okay.
As soon as the trial starts. And so, double jeopardy is supposed to stop the government from putting your life and liberty at jeopardy more than once. Double jeopardy.
On that particular thing that you were tried for in the first place.
Yes. Okay. So, the courts have found colorful ways to make exceptions to everything. But here's the thing. You can't structure a case and cause it to be mistried. In other words, there can be something that causes a mistrial, right? Some, especially from the defendant's standpoint, that causes a mistrial in the case, and then you have to come back and retry it. That's not double jeopardy. That's not because of the state's fault or anybody else's fault, but your own. Okay, if a witness does something that makes it a mistrial, then it's for your benefit to get the mistrial. Does that make sense? Let's say a witness. I hope he didn't get mad at me. James Burks has a funny story. He's always saying when he went into jury duty, here he said, and Jimmy Morgan steps in there. He says, "I know Jimmy Morgan. If he arrested that boy, he must be guilty." You know, of course, he was trying to get off the jury, but. If that happens, right, we're going to be wanting a mistrial. We're going to be wanting a new trial. Okay, technically, you know, let's say the jury was impaneled at some point and some witness said something just like that. Okay, well, that's going to be... Folks. Bless you. Man, I tell you what. Ooh, all he's
allergic.
Hash in there. And I was just like, okay. got the cook-off going on. All right. If something happens, we're gonna need to retry it, and it's in my benefit to retry it if some witness gets up and says something crazy during the case. Okay, that they're gonna want to come back and do it again.
Can't you just take that segment out of it and say this does not pertain to it?
Man, you can't unring a bell.
Good point. Okay.
I mean, if the jury's heard it, you can't undo that.
You put a drop of black paint in a white bucket, so there's no way to get rid of it, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that's always gonna be there though. If you do the retrial, everybody's gonna say, "Well, that guy said that before." It was in the other trial.
How are they going to know you're retrying it?
Oh, heck if I know. Social media, newspaper.
And that's true. I mean, hey, you can't get around some of this stuff.
All right, keep going.
Well, you asked me another question. You asked about another... I mean, that's that. I mean, we could get super complicated what is the same charge? Because then courts go... Well, it doesn't have the same elements that the original charge had, and therefore it requires more proof, and so it's not the same case. I mean, it's gotten out of hand, really, in my opinion, but still, it's complicated. These are complicated standards.
I want to simplify it, though, because I still got part of me that's a little confused. If you got a retrial because of something that you just said where somebody makes a comment and that doesn't help your case, and you restart it at that point, okay. But what happens if the person is found not guilty, but they come back again to court in another aspect of the same accusation? You're saying it's because there's another little segment of it that they want to retry that's not exactly the same?
I'm going to say in that scenario, they can't do that. I bet that's not what happened. But yes, this does. This does happen, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. The standard that they've come up with to figure out whether or not this is the actual same case. This is the same charge, right? Is ridiculous. I have to go read them every time. I can't even quote it, but it basically it requires proof that another one doesn't. Okay, and if it meets that standard, then it's possible they can retry you on it.
So here you are. You're in the courtroom, and you're thinking, I'm putting everything on the line this one time to be free, and all of a sudden, this change of events happen, or this situation gets thrown into the mix where now I got to do this all over again. It just doesn't seem fair. And the other part that doesn't seem fair to me, and this, I know this is totally off on a different tangent, is when somebody does get convicted of a crime and they go serve their time, why do they come out with a loss of their rights and all that as long as it's not heinous types of crimes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big push in the legislature. We talked about the restoration of rights several times on this show.
I was just having a discussion with somebody that people up in New York are going to allow convicts to be able to vote so that the Democrats can get more votes. Yeah, that was a political comment. But, I mean, there's all sorts of... And they have dead people voting and dead people voting twice. It's just weird. But anyway.
Well, that's what I'm voting.
How do we go from this to this? Okay.
I mean, as far as double jeopardy is concerned...
Stick to the notes.
Hey, you know... If the state wants to get you, they can. But like, let's say Bill Cosby, from what I heard, I, I don't know anything about his case at all whatsoever, so it's a hypothetical. There was more than one girl involved. If there's 100 chicks that are alleging you did it, and, you know, something different to them, they could try you on every single one of those girls, probably. I mean, unless maybe they were all together, like it was one act, you know, that maybe affected all of them. I was trying to find a way out of it.
Now, I can understand individual cases. If Mary Jane has a problem with whoever the guy is, and he's found to be innocent, but Betty Sue is a separate incident on a separate day. I totally get that. I get that.
And they could, because, I mean, I've got it all a lot of times. And we get into this argument. This happens. This is not rare. For, you know, is it a, like, let's say let's just say theft, for instance. Let's say I steal your gun.
Hell no.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my last mistake.
That'd be your last mistake. That's right.
So let's say that I take something from you and I start to run away. Is every act that I take, like, so is the act of taking theft, and then when I go through the door, is that another act of theft? And then when I get in the truck, is that another act of theft? And then how many times can this be, or is it all one act?
Well, I don't know, because a lot of things that I read in the paper is they've been charged with multiple things: avoiding arrest, assault of an officer, running through a stop sign, all in the same crime, because if one doesn't fly, they can get him for another one.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah, you've seen the good TV shows. This happens. They're gonna just stack stuff on there and try to get the leverage to make you plea bargain.
Plea bargain,
and
that's right.
That's what they're hoping for in the end. There's gonna be a couple of just cases that don't really make much sense, charges that don't really make much sense, but in the end...
Wasn't it right? Like Al Capone? They couldn't get him, so they got him for tax evasion?
Yeah. I mean, this is the prosecutor's way. It's been done this way for a long, long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the number here is 254-697-6633. If you've got an interesting tidbit or a question or a comment that you want to talk about concerning this topic or some other topics that we've talked to, the number is 254-697-6633. Pull over on the side of the road, get your cell phone, give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you. I'll tell you what, let's sidebar for a second, Ross. Last couple of weeks, you were talking about, or I was asking the question about restraining orders, and I just happened to see this article in the paper, and the headline is, "Man reportedly breaks into a home, commits assault." Let me read a little bit of the article, and then we'll take it from there. A man banned from a residence reportedly kicked in the home's door Saturday afternoon and attacked someone inside. A disturbance call came in at about 1:30. Temple Police Department spoke, blah, 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 blah. Officers reached the address and found this individual. He reportedly kicked in a door and assaulted a male inside. Kinsley was banned from the residence Friday. At one point, Kinsley threw a bottle at the man or the male, and it broke on the man's head. The male had to be taken to Scott and Wood Hospital, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we were talking about pieces of paper, restraining orders to keep people away. And I'm assuming, based on how this story is written, which isn't very clear, but it said on Friday before the incident, he was banned from the residence. So I'm assuming there was some type of restraining order. And I wanted to just bring it back up again from everything you discussed, that piece of paper is only worth what it's written on and doesn't really do much to keep somebody out if they want to get you, right?
Yes. I mean, this is a good example. This is not an uncommon occurrence. The thing about this also raises the issue. Remember, there was a big push for bail reform last year, and it almost got some of the things almost went through. Not really almost, I'll say almost, but it basically died because we ran out of time, and the legislature, they ran out of time to even consider it.
Wasn't it that, I forget who it was, but the lady, she did an incredible amount of money for the bail, like $1 billion.
They're billionaires. They're making a political push. They're going after the criminal justice system as a whole, and because they don't like the way the criminal justice system, they tried to pick one of the, in my opinion, the most important parts of the criminal system, but that did not have the type of reputation and power behind it that maybe other parts of the criminal justice system did. And so they went after the bail bondsman. And they're trying to take away right? The bail bondsman's ability to write bail bonds, they say, oh, it's stupid, it's worthless, this is discriminatory, it's discriminatory against poor people, right? And minorities, you know, historically, you know, discriminated against minorities. And so it's only continuing a system that is unjust. As unjust as the system may be, the bail bondsman play an important role, because if we're letting people out without any oversight of these folks and without any ability to make people come back into jail or have any accountability whatsoever, then there's no way that we have leverage to get these people back into court. Okay? And if you have oversight, you're not going to always prevent this from happening like you did here.
Right.
Okay, these kinds of things are going to happen.
They happen all the time.
Okay, but think about if nobody is keeping track of where this defendant is once he gets out. Nobody's keeping track of and he's got his money's not on the hook. His family's money's not on the hook. Right? You've got no bail bondsman looking, you know, tracking him. Okay? He's going to be able to do this at his own discretion, okay, and maybe he gets caught this time, but otherwise maybe he kills somebody. That's and right. Then just goes to Mexico.
So what's the thing?
I didn't mean to imply that this is a Hispanic problem. I'm just saying goes to some foreign country that you never find him again, and you know there's no way to make him show back up in court because they're just gonna PR bond him.
So what's the fix?
A PR bond is just a personal recognizance bond. They don't have to pay any money, and they're pushing for letting them out within like 24 hours. Well. That's exactly the problem.
So
they should have a hold for 48 to 72 hours.
Even that's not going to do it. If the person wants you, they're going to get you.
It's a cool down stage. It's probably, I don't know how much.
It's better than nothing. I get it.
It's better than nothing. At least gives the victim time to make arrangements.
What about a bracelet? Or is that against constitutional right?
I mean, no. No, if they wanted bail, they could agree to place a bracelet on it. The problem, I think, with those is logistically or even realistically, is there a way to cut this off? When I say cut, I mean like get rid of the bracelet.
There's a way to figure out if it gets cut, it kills the circuit and so on and so forth. But that's a minor detail. I saw that, and I'm thinking to myself, I just want everybody to know, just because you got a restraining order doesn't mean squat. So if you're fearful of your life and you want to do something, you might consider learning how to use a firearm
and leaving. I would say if it's serious enough, I'd leave the house.
Why should I have to leave the house? That's the problem. I don't have to do anything.
I'm just trying to avoid a situation like this. The problem is, don't know this is coming. Maybe he tried to assault you, but it wasn't that bad. You know, you don't see it escalating to the point of, oh, he's going to come back and kill me this time. And you've got to be careful. I mean, go talk to somebody. They've got shelters. Ask the police if they'll do some.
I would think
targeting
if a person has a restraining order put on them, the person who asked for the restraining order, because we talked about this before, the person who gets a restraining order on him had to have some type of evidence to show that he was worthy of having a restraining order put on him. And if that is the case, the person who's trying to be protected should be given every opportunity for comfort to be in their own home, their own place, without having to be fearful and running away. So instead of running away from the house, they should, be more observed with the individual having a bracelet on so they can track them. Or the person in the home be prepared to defend themselves with a firearm and get training. Whatever it takes, but to cause the victim to have to worry and have to maybe run away to protect them. I just think that's crazy, man. But you're right. There should be some type of correction on how to fix this, because if they're just going out there on their own and nobody's watching them, then it's worthless, the piece of paper.
We do have the victim's rights, the victim's coordinator. You're going to get money and shelter for free in a lot of cases. If you're going to get these shelters that reach out, that's what I guess maybe I should have talked about. There's a lot of shelters in Central Texas that you can go to if this is happening, and they'll put you up, they'll keep you for a while, help you make sure you're everybody's safe, you know, on your feet. And some are really nice, extremely nice places. More like hotels than like homeless shelters. It's not the same thing. Okay? And it's hard to say.
How does the witness protection program work or fall into play with this?
You're not going to get witness protection on when it's a, you know, family violence type of deal. You're talking about RICO statutes. Maybe they need to have something like that. They don't really have anything like that on the state level.
We're going all over the map here, what is the witness protection program? How does it work, and who is able to get on it, and who pays for it? And do you totally change your life like Elvis Presley and just hide from society and only show up at gas stations? You know,
man, that's Rick Dawes area. That's not within the same realm of a family violence case, but maybe something like that is more of the answer. But you just, there's no good answer to stop repeat offenders. And you can say, well, why don't we just keep them in jail indefinitely until we go back to court? Well, man,
you can't do that.
Think about a divorce case. It's already manipulated the process. But if a spouse knows that she can get her husband right put in jail the entire time for their divorce case, so he can't go get a lawyer, she can take all of his property. All she got to do is make this allegation. Oh man, that's I can see that there being some of abusive process. Absolutely, if that were the case.
In your judgment, Ross, when you look at the legal system, being an attorney extraordinaire like you are, how much of a mess is the legal system?
You know, it's a mess, but a lot of things, there's really no good answer to this stuff. And it's a very difficult situation. Some of it, I think, is the best that it could be.
Would you say that the legal system is really good, but it's the problem with, like we've always discussed here, how black and white has turned to gray based on the attitude of a jury?
Black and white has, in too many cases, turned to gray. It should be. We should go back to clear standards.
But is it gray because of the opinion of a jury and what the judge allows to go in? Or
no,
is it the way it's written itself?
Because of these damn lawyers. Right? They're just one side just arguing for this and this and this. And politics, man. Politics have really skewed, you know, what the original visions of the country were supposed to be. As far as criminal-wise, I can't moan and complain enough about how the First Amendment and Fourth Amendment are no longer taken seriously, and especially the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment, I always say this phrase, is useless. Right?
Well, tell everybody what it is and why.
Fourth Amendment prevents unlawful, unreasonable searches and seizures. Okay, this is what prevents police officers from just busting in your house, right, and doing a search of all your personal papers and your iPhone and your computer, right, unless they've got a warrant.
Now, on a traffic stop, I've heard this, correct me if I'm wrong, an officer, if he wants to, if they have the device to do it, they can take your phone and scan it, right? I've heard that on the news.
I haven't had that situation come up. That's going to be a problem.
I think that, man, that would not be good. That would be very irritating.
If they could just, scan your phone.
Your cell phone is like your brain. It's your brain inside of an electronic box.
I know there was already a big case that came out 2 years ago, and they talked about the privacy, the level of privacy for a personal cell phone, and having as much privacy as a home. I mean, it's as sacred to the person as, you know, the person's own personal papers, books, inside their home.
Well, so, in reality, it's like you're interfacing with your phone. So they want to get this electronics in your body. Well, right now it's in your hand, and that's part of it. It's your thought process. It's your ideas. It's your concepts. It's your fears. It's your joys. It's whatever you're looking up or referencing that's in there, and it's your private thing because they can't dissect your brain, but they can strip your phone from all the data that's in it, which is essentially the same thing as dissecting your
brain.
And
I would say that that's theft. I'm not obviously not a big technology guy. There's things that I need help with from experts, but it depending on what kind of data it is, and they're just scanning it and taking it. What's the difference in doing that and scanning my credit card and taking my credit card information, which is theft? Okay, if they're doing that, then that's theft. That's not a legal use of a scanner, so to speak. I would say there needs to be launched a Fourth Amendment case in that situation. But again, that's why I said it's almost as if the Fourth Amendment doesn't exist. Instead of the cops, I hate saying that word. Instead of police officers respecting the boundary and saying it used to be that way, almost I feel like in a lot of cases, DAs instead of saying, "Whoa, why should you know?" Instead of just charging a case anyway, just because there's a complaint, I feel like it used to be, I don't know if we can make this case stick, and this ain't right. We're not going to charge, or they go through a longer process, in my opinion, about deciding whether or not they can charge.
I like that concept because it's like, you know, yeah, somebody may be a crook or a criminal or whatever, but you got to be fair. You got to say, is the evidence there? Because if you start cheating on this person, you're going to start cheating on somebody else. There's got to be something. That's why I'm so fanatical on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and I meant it in my opinion piece, the Constitution's the goose, the Bill of Rights are the golden eggs. Stop strangling the goose. Do whatever you want outside of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. If you got some social programs and all this kind of stuff, whatever. If it doesn't work, we'll fix it later. But don't jack with that. Comes the same thing with the legal system. We've got these laws and legal opinions and things that you go based on to make a judgment to somebody. You go through a checklist as compared to not doing that. Then everybody's in jeopardy.
Right, and remember, we talked about how there's an intertwinement, all of these Bill of Rights, all of your rights are intertwined, the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. So if you start ignoring one or start trying to strangle one, okay, it's going to trickle down to the Second Amendment, to the First Amendment, to the Fifth Amendment, to the Tenth.
And I'll be honest with you, that 1 through 10, they're not in numerical order. They're just the way they laid out, because the Second Amendment is the one that protects the rest. So in my opinion, the Second Amendment is the most important, because it protects all your other rights.
Well, and two, you're right to free speech, because if you couldn't communicate, there would be no way to know what the government is doing. Because you wouldn't be able to have your own advocate, right? You wouldn't be able to have your own representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you wouldn't be able to have a representative form of government. All of them are important. They all work together. They're all. Maybe not every one of them is equally important, but they all have a high importance, and you need every single one of them for the other ones to work.
Since we're going to close this up in just a minute, I initially asked you about retrials and all that kind of stuff, and because this is a license to carry an attorney segment, is there any way to apply a passing thought or comment when it comes to retrial in the respect of somebody who's protecting themselves with a handgun? What another aspect to think about, contemplate, and get it in your mental history so when you apply self-defense in any way, it might be able to help you?
Well, no, I think the really good example is the man who, after there being a restraining order, goes back to the house and tries to commit assault again or burglary of that same habitation. I think we spoke about you can't be 100%. There's no way to be 100% proof through a piece of paper. Okay, to be 100% safe by using a piece of paper to do it. So, I mean, I fully advocate for you to go learn how to use a weapon, get confident with a weapon, be able to protect yourself in the home. We spoke about how many times, right, the violence actually happens in the home as opposed to being out. It happens more in the home, okay? More people are murdered in their own home, right, than anywhere else. More people are assaulted in their own home than anywhere else. That's a fact. And so, yes, you need to be able to protect yourself and your castle and your most sacred products like your phones and your family.
I want to ask you something. You're good, so hopefully you'll be able to figure out what I'm trying to say. If you have a working knowledge of the laws, if you're a licensed to carry person, you have to sign an affidavit that you have a working knowledge of the laws and understand them. Ignorance is no excuse for the law. However, let me ask you this. If you think your head's going under the bow of the boat, the line has been crossed, and you have to defend yourself, and in the process of your mental thought thinking, I have to do this, it may have crossed the lines of what is legal. Do you still, we've talked about this before, is there any leniency for ignorance? if you think and you can convey that you thought, hey.
Any ever? Yeah, probably so, but usually not. No.
Usually not. Okay. So make sure, in other words, make sure you know. That's why, everybody, you got to understand your laws. You have to mentally go through it. You have to practice it so it all works together, okay?
No, in fact, if you don't hire a lawyer in court and you miss a rule, okay, there are about three or four rules where the court will give you a little bit of wiggle room, okay? But generally speaking, if you don't follow the rest of the procedure, you're held to the same standard as somebody that hires a lawyer would be held to.
Okay.
Okay? And it's the same thing, I think, if you're using a handgun, you better know what the rules are using it. And if you don't and you get in trouble using it, you've got no excuses.
Yeah. I would think the leniency would come in your home. Because if you're on the street, there's a different.
Yeah, but if you're carrying, if you're carrying,
you got to know your stuff.
If
but in
you're
the
carrying,
home,
you got to know your stuff.
Yeah, but in your home, that's a little different. Although that's not a guarantee. I'm just saying it's probably a little bit more lenient because somebody's breaking within the parameters of your castle.
And that's why they give us a presumption. So the state's going to have to overcome this presumption that, yes, you are presumed to have a reasonable and necessary immediacy and need to use that weapon and it be in self defense. However. You know, they can always overcome the presumption, but...
Okay. This segment is sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and Rick, you know, sometimes show up, and we can't thank him enough for him and his firm to do this. And we always have the attorney extraordinary, Ben Ross Watson. Ross, why don't you tell everybody how they get a hold of you?
105 East Main Street here in Cameron. That's 105 East Main Street. You can contact me for a Houston or Bryan College Station appointment. You can call my phone, 254-605-4140, or you can email me if you got any questions about the show. We love to talk about it. It's Benton@Watson.legal. That's Benton@Watson.legal. Thank you, guys.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ross. We'll see you on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Jermaine.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property. Auto and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's May 5th, 2018, and we're in our Topic of Interest segment. Here I've got some dates that you might want to list in your calendars. Next week, or actually this upcoming Friday, May 11th, is the next round robin, and I've talked and talked and talked about this. If you're carrying a weapon for protection, you got a license to carry, this is a fantastic way to up your game, get more proficient with your ability to move faster, shoot more accurate under a time constraint, which we try to push you because we can't get a real live scenario where somebody's going to hurt you or shoot you. I mean, I could set it up, I guess, but we don't want to do that. So the round robin is the next best thing. It's going to be Friday, and it starts promptly at 7 o'clock. I need you there by 6:30 so we can get a head count. It's $20 to enter, and this week or this month's prize will be a 3-burner charbroil gas grill. So if you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it there. It's a pretty nice barbecue just in time for this summer. So you can start cooking your burgers, your steak, or whatever it is. Round robin, next Friday. May 12th, this is going to be big, huge. It's the ladies only show. The day right before Mother's Day, we're going to have Patty Marek, Susan Connolly, Connie Connor, Connie Allison, Janae Goodman, and Master Cindy Key. We got Patty, she's one of my consultants. Susan, she's a business owner of herself. Got a lot of things going on there. We got Connie Connor, a legal assistant. Connie Allison is the registered nurse. Janae Goodman, our delicious tactical snacker. And Master Cindy Key, you know her. She's the one who beats me up every Saturday at about 11:55. So it's going to be a great show. You need to tell everybody to take a listen. I think you're really going to enjoy it, so check it out. I'll be giving some more information on Facebook and send it out to everybody you know. May 13th is Mother's Day. Make sure you take care of your mothers out there. May 18th is Ladies' Night. That's the third Friday of every month. I don't care who you are, if you're with a woman or somebody who claims to be one, I guess they get to shoot for free. Range time is free. Then May 19th is my next license to carry class. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the License to Carry page, check out the details there. You can sign up there or give me an email at aaronsgunshop.com. I'm sorry, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and I can communicate with you that way. Also, don't forget our seminars. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, High Cap Adventure page. Take a look at all the different types of seminars that we have to offer. If you have a group of five or more, we can set one up for you. So we got lots going on. Check out aaronsgunshop.com. Check out all the pages. Make sure you become a subscriber to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop, and follow us on Instagram. All sorts of great videos and information. So with that, Trey, let's set up Janae, and we got another segment of Tactical Snacking. She's going to run a little bit over 11 o'clock, and then right after that we'll have the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. So Trey, take it away.
Hello, my lovelies. This week, we're going to continue our exploration of preservation. If you missed part one of this segment, which talked about dehydration, drying, and even features tips on making your own jerky, be sure to head over to see Aaron's Gun Shop on Facebook. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's start with canning today. Personally, I think canning is one of the more involved methods, but it's definitely worth the effort, especially if you're short on fridge space. There are two ways that you can can items. The pressure cooker method should be used for low acidic foods such as meats, fish, and vegetables. Tomatoes are the exception to the vegetables here because they are highly acidic and technically a fruit anyway. The pressure method allows foods to reach a higher temperature than necessary to kill off bacteria, so it's imperative that you use this method for low acidic items. If you don't have a pressure canning device at home, it's all right. You can still can plenty of other things. A water bath allows you to boil your filled cans, and it takes less time than the pressure method. This is used for highly acidic items only. Fruits to make chutney, jellies and jams, salsas, and vegetables that are prepped in a high acid brine, or in layman's terms, canned pickles. When using this method, be sure to completely submerge your jars in water and boil for about 15 to 20 minutes. With either method you choose, the end goal is to seal your food in a glass jar. When the food and liquid is cooling down inside of the jar, there's a vacuum effect that causes your jar to seal shut. That's why products that have a broken safety seal should not be consumed. The button on top of these jars lets you know if a jar is properly sealed or not. Canned items actually also make wonderful gifts, not to mention that you can make them well ahead of time and not have to worry about spoilage. We're all rather familiar with pickled cucumbers, but many people don't realize just how they're made. Pickling is a preservation of a food using a brine, vinegar, or a highly acidic liquid. The number of foods you can pickle is outstanding. I love making pickles, but this method takes a bit of patience. The great news is, once you have your pickled item, you can keep it on the shelf until you're ready to use it. They also make for rather nifty, yet cheap gifts. For example, here's how you can make your own sauerkraut at home. All you need is a pound of shredded or chopped fresh cabbage and a tablespoon of salt. After shredding your cabbage, sprinkle it with salt and mash it with the potato masher or squeeze it with clean hands for 10 minutes. You should see the liquid begin to extract from your cabbage. Next, put your cabbage into a jar and cover it with the juice that you just extracted. Be sure to mash the cabbage down until it's completely submerged. The next step is going to take your patience, about 2 weeks of it actually. Cover your jar with a tight lid or a coffee filter with a rubber band. Allow your jar to sit at room temperature for the next 2 weeks, allowing it to ferment. If you've used a tight lid, open your jar daily to allow extra pressure to dissipate. When you're happy with the texture and flavor, put your sauerkraut in the fridge. It's ready to use at this point, but it will continue to develop flavor as it ages. Man, this segment is just smoking. No, I mean we're really getting into the smoking as preservation. I do want to clear something up here. Smoking alone is not enough to preserve food, so it must be combined with a curing method to be fully effective if your goal is long-term storage. Cold smoking is an option as well. This only adds smoke flavor to a food without actually cooking it. Therefore, foods should be cured before cold smoking them. You can do so by putting proteins in a brine for about 3 days to a week, depending on the weight. Basically, about 24 hours for every 2 pounds of meat or fish. Rinse your product with fresh water, pat it dry, and expose it to cold air for about 3 hours to create a pellicle before you cold smoke it. These are the same steps that will lead up to hot smoking as well. Smoke does not adhere well to wet products, so you create a pellicle. That pellicle I'm referring to is a tacky layer on the surface of a protein that is created when you expose the protein to cold air. This is usually achieved by placing prepped and uncovered meats in your fridge, allowing air to dry out on the surface. I'm sure you've accidentally done this before if you've ever placed meat into the fridge without wrapping it properly. This pellicle acts as a barrier for your protein, and it helps enhance the flavor of your meat and protects the color for it as well. Are you still here? Get to preserving. I know you can. As always, shoot an email to tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com for all your culinary and gardening needs. If you have any comments or questions about the information you heard today, feel free to send me an email about those too. Be sure to tune into High Cap Adventures next week, where the women are going to be in charge. You're sure to indulge in whatever we have to offer. But until then, stay hungry, my friends.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great Saturday morning. The sun's shining. It's a beautiful day. The airplanes are flying low over at the Temple Airport. It's also Cinco de Mayo Day, so everybody go out and have a good Cinco de Mayo margarita, but do it responsibly, as they say. Also want everybody to also please say a prayer for the family of Reverend Ernest Taylor, who passed away in a horrible car crash a few days ago. Man did a lot to try to bridge the gap between the black and white rift in a lot of the communities in our area. So please remember him and his family. You know, I thought about what we're going to talk about today, and then I was looking at the calendar. This next week, which is, as everybody knows, next Sunday is Mother's Day. So if you hadn't done it now, all you do is go out there and buy your mother something for Mother's Day. And if your mother's passed, go put some flowers in the grave. She'd appreciate that. I thought about what we'd do, but it's also next week is going to be Police Memorial Week. Monday is the starting of the service, with the culmination being on the 15th. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about, I'm not going to talk about the officers that we lost. In the last 2-3 years, the statistics have been horrible. Horrible about the officers who've been killed in the line of duty. It's back reminiscent of what happened in the 70s when there was a spike in police officer murders. But what I thought I'd talk about today is the police of today. What about the police of today? You know, it's often said that no other profession demands a higher ethical standard than that of law enforcement. Regardless of whether or not there are other careers that require a similar dedication to doing the right thing, it is undeniable that there is an understandably tremendous degree of expectations placed upon our police officers today. And you know what? Rightfully so, folks. Every officer knows, or at least should know by now, that they live in a fishbowl. And you know, we think about that. Your friends, relatives, neighbors, and strangers watch every move a police officer or a law enforcement officer makes, both on and off duty. And that's what is important, both on and off duty. You know, the fact is that the public scrutinizes law enforcement officers more than most professions, either because they're cynical and truly hope to catch an officer screwing up, or because they're hopeful and they're looking for a good example and a strong leader. But, you know, yet day in and day out, we read stories of officers who do wrong, maybe from theft, excessive use of force, misuse of public office, abuse of authority, and even simple things like speeding, are an example of unethical behavior on the part of those the public has entrusted to serve and protect. The vast majority of police officers are truly good, hardworking, and dedicated people. I'll guarantee you that. They strive to serve the public and do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. But it's unfortunate that the good work law enforcement officers do on and off duty rarely makes the news. And when it doesn't carry with it the same long memory that something bad that happened carries with it. Many people still bemoan the Rodney King incident that happened decades ago now, almost 30 years ago. And law enforcement continues to reel from perceptions and implications that has happened in the wake of that and the wake of other things that happened in the last few years across our country, whether it was in Missouri or New York City or wherever it was. You know, and irregardless of what the grand juries say, it's still the perception that the public has. You know, there are less than appropriate responses to race riots and peaceful protests, as well as widespread mistreatment of racial minorities. That somehow that still affects how officers approach their job half a century later. And there is no way in this God's green earth that you will convince me that the majority of every police officer even cares what the color of a person is when they go to do their job. They don't care if you're black, white, brown, purple, or polka dotted. They're going to do their job fairly and equally, and that is in the most case. Moreover, those events that have served to whittle down and erode the public's trust in their police, making it much harder for officers to do their jobs, is unfortunate. It's unfortunate, though, that it may be a single uncouth act committed by one single unprofessional officer that can impact the entire police profession. What's the old saying about one rotten apple in a barrel? Rarely does the public make a distinction between uniforms. At the end of the day, all police officers look and act the same in the eye of the average citizen. And that's true. That's why it's so vividly and vitally important that each and every officer does his or her utmost best in maintaining and building on the trust the public has given to us. Man, it's a great feeling to know that the public entrusts us to do the right thing. We often use words like ethics and values to describe that. But for all the talk of ethics in law enforcement, it's important to establish what ethics and what ethical behavior is and what they aren't, such as the strong push exists within the law enforcement community to uphold ethical standards. But without a clear definition of the term, such talk is futile, folks. Value is the term given to those ideas, behaviors, and actions that are important to us. Values are those things worth fighting for and those things worth sacrificing for. They're what we hold most dear. Our values strongly influence our decision-making and help determine where we place our emphasis in our personal and professional lives. Values form the basis for our understanding of ethics in law enforcement. Within society, you think about this, within society, we have personal values and societal values. Our personal values are ours alone and are informed by our upbringing and made by our upbringing, our culture and our ethnic background, our religious beliefs and our personal experiences. But because personal values are unique to each individual, they're generally not a proper platform on which to basically base our professional ethics, though they may inform how we view things, appreciate and approach ethical behavior. There are some values, though, that are essential, universally held by the society. These values are those ideas that must be held most dear by a culture or a group, and those are the values from which we drive and derive our understanding and expectation. When I was chief of police, I wanted an officer who had integrity. I wanted one that had honesty and who believed in hard work. He or she should have kindness. They should have had compassion, empathy, and sympathy as a driving characteristic. But above all, and I mean this with my dear heart from soul to soul, but above all, they should be brave and just in their dealing with every person, regardless of race, color, or creed. They must be just. And that's the one thing that I know that Reverend Taylor and I talked about many times, a just being fair and equitable to everybody. Those ideals, these so-called universal values, help guide us toward ethical behavior and ethical decision-making. They help inform us of what to expect and what we should do, what actions we should take. Ethics is, believe it or not, ethics is nothing more than doing the right thing, whether it may be the right thing, whatever that may be. The right thing is based on those values that society holds dear. Ethical principles are promised as a notion and they are right and wrong, as always right and wrong it should be. When officers fail to do what is right, and especially when they do what is clearly and blatantly wrong, they erode the public trust just a little more and a little less every single day. And that's what's scary about today's law enforcement. We have to be equitable, we have to be fair, and we've got to stand up for right and wrong. Adherence to high standards then is as vital to achieving the overall goal of modern policing as any other tactic, technique, or practice that they look at every day. You know, police officers go to the range, they go to classes, they do a lot of things to get better in their profession. Ethic refinement should also be on the same. It's important that the high ethical standard in police work is pressed upon aspiring officers from the very first days in the police academy. The oath of office lays the groundwork for instilling ethical behavior, but it doesn't stop there. An important thing for law enforcement officers to remember is that they, when they put that uniform on, it affects what they do, and only themselves is not affected. They are affecting, they're showing that they're an individual who is worthy of putting that badge on their chest. But it also reflects on their entire agency. And in, and worse yet, it affects the entire profession. When you hear about a cop who's done wrong, you don't just think about that one cop. A lot of people then say, well, they're all like that, or this, that, or the other. That's not true. That's farthest from the truth. Even cops don't like honest cops. All of this is well and good, but how do officers apply this code to their everyday professional life? There's a short and easy recipe to that, folks. Like Janae just got to talking about, there's a short and easy recipe. The short and easy recipe is this: do the right thing. Because ethics are based upon societal values. It's not difficult to discern what the difference is between right and wrong in almost every situation. But you know what the best thing to do? Perhaps the simplest test of all is the gut test. That gut test essentially relies on instinct and the belief that deep down, all officers can make the right decisions. Essentially, and this is really important, folks, essentially, the gut test relies on the principle that if it feels wrong, it probably is wrong. This is not to be confused with the difference between feeling good and bad, but between right and wrong. There are plenty of times that things that feel bad are right and things that feel good are wrong. Whether one chooses to use a test or to trust his gut, the fact remains that ethical behavior and practices are at the forefront of the law enforcement profession. It is absolutely vital that every police officer today remember the reason he or she took the job in the first place is to protect and serve. Law enforcement must work together to be the people that the public demands and expects them to be. They must lead by example instead of setting a bad example. Whether it's driving a car, whether it's talking in public, whether it's sitting in a coffee room telling a war story, they must lead by example instead of setting a bad example. And they must make the hard choices to do the right thing under every circumstance. And folks, only in this way will officers be able to provide the level of service the community, a county, or a nation deserves, and to really begin the work of making a difference in the lives of others. Are our law enforcement officers perfect? Oh my gosh, no. As far as I know, there's only one perfect person in this world, and he's died for our sins. No human is perfect. Everyone will make the most important issue with all that is simply this. Police officers, like any other profession, is made up of human beings. Human beings are going to make mistakes, folks. An honest mistake, I can live with. A purposed mistake, treating people wrong, treating people that ways that no human being should be treated, that no law enforcement officer should or could live with, no administrator should live with. So, folks, I get on my high horse a little bit when I start talking about what police officers should and should not do, the ethics that they should do. But, you know, every police officer, and I'll tell you right now, from my experience of 44 years of doing this job actively, every police officer lives in a fishbowl. I have up until just recently, a year and a half ago. Everything you do, people judge. We wouldn't judge our preachers. We wouldn't judge our firemen. We wouldn't judge our lawyers. And we wouldn't judge our accountants the way we judge police officers. I'm not rightfully saying we shouldn't judge them, but folks, just remember what I said a couple of moments ago. They are human beings, and they're going to be fallible. They're going to make mistakes. The key to a good law enforcement officer is never make the same mistake twice. And to know what you're doing, read your craft, read your profession. Police officers carry guns. Citizens carry guns. Keeping a cool head, prevailing with a cool head, that's the issue. And that's what we need to do, and we need to demand from our law enforcement. If you live in a community that you're unhappy with your law enforcement, let your administrators know. Let your mayor know. Let your councilman know. Let your sheriff know. Because we demand better. We demand our officers to be the peak of perfection, even when we know they're fallible human beings. So until next week, folks, a couple of things. Pray for our police officers. Pray for those 100-plus that lost their lives last year and their families that will be recognized this coming week. I wish every mother, since we won't be here next week, I wish every mother a happy, happy Mother's Day. Tell your mother you love her, and everybody take care, and God bless. See you next week after next.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. It's May 5th, 2018. We're here in the Product Spotlight segment, and it is sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. The number is 254-983-4417. The owner, he's got a great staff there, Mike, Clint, Dennis, and they got all sorts of guns, rifles, pistols, ammo, knives, accessories, all sorts of stuff. And I've known Arch for quite a long time. He's an awesome individual, so is the crew. And you just need to go there, check them out, and support them because they support this radio show. And if you like what you hear on the air, it's in part due to ANC Firearms as well as all the other sponsors that we have on the program. And he's got a handgun on the shelf right now, and he can get it anytime if it's not on the shelf. But it was the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380. And it's a pretty impressive little handgun. And I've got one here in the studio, and I'm on video, so the first thing I'm going to do real quick is just make sure it's clear, magazine is empty, chamber is clear, and the weapon, I got it on safe at the moment, so we're good to go, and I'll be referencing that in just a minute. But I looked it up on the gunzone.com. I wanted to get, like I usually do, different opinions or things I may not have mentioned before. This one here is from the gunzone.com by Norman Turner. And let me read to you a couple of bits and pieces of this article, and then I'll go back to actually put my hands on the gun. Smith & Wesson Bodyguard Review. Little pocket guns are becoming quite popular in the world today. They are easy to carry and conceal, are light in weight, and therefore the best to use for self-defense. Well, in that category of guns. The Smith & Wesson Bodyguard is one such gun that is quite popular these days. Other than its size and weight, it has amazing features that cannot be found in many other similar guns. These include the second strike capability, rear adjustable sights and safety lever, and a loaded chamber indicator. It also comes with an inbuilt laser and a slide lock after the last round, among other great features. The Bodyguard is a 6+1 capacity. It is a double action only semi-automatic handgun, and if you've ever taken my class, you know what I'm talking about, double action only type of firearm. There's different types of actions. This one's a double action only. It has a super smooth trigger pull of about 9.5 pounds. Its trigger is flat plastic and very smooth. It may be small in size, but it has all the controls one would expect to get on a full-size gun. These features include steel rear sights and a manual safety and slide stop. The gun is hammer-fired, and its bobbed hammer protrudes a little from its slide rear just before the trigger breaks. Its barrel length is 2.75 inches. The rear of its hood has a cutout that acts as a loaded chamber indicator. It weighs about 12 ounces when unloaded and has less than an inch in thickness. Its overall length is 5.25 inches. This makes it very small and light enough to fit even in a pocket. The gun comes with both the front and rear sights that are black and a no-snag finish to them. The rear ones are dovetailed into the slide. Both gun slides and barrel are made of stainless steel material, which has then been given a uniform matte black finish. You get 2 magazines and 4 base pads with the Bodyguard. 2 of the base pads are extended, whereas the other 2 are flat. That's personal preference on those. With this gun, you can expect excellent personal protection and an easy-to-carry and comfortable gun. It comes in a sleek and compact design, which makes handling and using it very easy. You do not compromise on your comfort, even if you carry it the entire day. The Bodyguard has been designed for concealed carry, and this means that you can ensure your safety every day, or help to ensure it. With a larger gun, it might be hard to bring it with you all the time. This is different with a gun of this size and design. It can be concealed very well no matter what you're wearing. Carrying a gun that is small and light is very convenient, especially if you need it the entire day. You just carry and forget that you have it. For people who need a gun all day, or for a person that needs to keep safe, the Bodyguard is a great option. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was off the Gun Zone. That was Norman Turner. And what I've got here, and I'm showing it in the video, is the actual gun itself. And it's very nice. I'll tell you, when you pick this firearm up, it's solid. I've picked up some small compact 380s, and there's a hollowness to it. And this is extremely thin, as you can see in the video I'm showing here. And the grip is short. So if you wanted to carry it concealed, let's say in your waistline, the other thing I like about it is, if you'll notice the beaver tail, there's no hammer, and the beaver tail is quite low in its profile, which means when I put the weapon into my holster in the abdomen carry, let's say, it really sticks close to the belt line. It doesn't protrude or cause potential printing of the t-shirt, which is a nice factor there. Also, I have a large hand. Now, when I'm carrying a concealed weapon, of course I want it to be as compact as possible. So when I put in the mag with the little finger pad on it that comes with the pistol itself, and I put it into the firearm, you'll notice it's still compact. However, when I go to put it in my hand, and I've talked about this before, the heel of the gun kind of fits where the crease of my hand is. So when I go to pull the trigger, the gun has a tendency to go into that crease. And I have to think about it a little bit more to keep the gun straight, okay? Now, with the extended mag, I would have this one in my waist, okay? But if I was carrying an extra mag, I may have the extended mag like this, if you can see it in the video. And when I put it into the gun, you're going to notice how it looks. When I put it in there, notice how much longer it is. Now, obviously, that would be very awkward to carry in my waistline. But let's say, for example, God forbid I have to use the firearm, and I've gone through the short mag, I pull out the extended mag, and now I have a much better grip on this firearm. So that's just one nice extra feature for it. So I'll tell you what, we're going to try and make this into video, and I'll show it to you come Monday or Tuesday, and you can take a look at it for yourself. So Trey, let's take a break.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Jermaine.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property. Property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Hi, everybody. As you know, I've got a radio show, and when you're on the radio show and you're speaking through a microphone to people listening, you have to use words that are very clear in their descriptions so people can get a mental image of what you're talking about. So what I want to do right now is give you a clear image or proper terminology for a cartridge. A lot of people have a tendency to call these things bullets, and what we're looking at is this right here. You can see that's a cartridge, and the cartridge consists of certain components. One of those components is the bullet, and the bullet looks like this. That's the part, that's the projectile, okay? The other part is the shell casing. And the shell casing has a primer to it. So when you put it all together, it comes into a cartridge or a round. And what happens is the firing pin hits the primer sparks, the spark ignites the powder burns, builds up pressure, and pushes the projectile out the weakest point of the gun, which is the muzzle of the barrel. So when you're talking about ammunition, remember, that's a cartridge or a round. The bullet is what's shot out of the gun, and that's the projectile, okay? Just for clarity purposes, and when you're talking to each other, there's no mistake as to what you're talking about. So there you go, short class for today. Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you about that age-old question of, does size really matter? Well, when I talk to a lot of guys, they tell me, hey, I got a big one, or I wish I had a big one. When I talk to the women, they say, I don't care what size it is, just as long as it gets the job done. Now, what am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about ammunition. There's a lot of mouse guns out there that have a 22 or 32 or 25 ACP, small calibers that can get the job done. But the trick is you got to know how to use your weapon. You got to know about shot placement. You got to be a good shot to maximize the effectiveness of a small caliber round. Now, of course, if you got a larger caliber like a 45 ACP and you get hit somewhere, sure, you're going to have a more devastating effect. But the whole purpose of here of self-defense is to get away, to stop the threat. So if I have to take a shot with a small 25 ACP round and it hits the individual just long enough for me to get away, mission accomplished, okay? So remember, it's not meant to kill, it's meant to stop the threat. And if all you can handle or if all you've got or all you can afford is a small mouse gun, then maximize its efficiency by maximizing your ability to shoot the gun with extreme accuracy, okay? So does size matter? Sometimes. But is accuracy important all the time? Of course. Practice, practice, practice. That's the tip of the day. That's the comment of the day. Make some comments if you want. Thanks. Okay, to the left here, I have the awesome registered nurse, Connie Allison. Connie, welcome to the show. Make sure you speak into that mic for me, though, okay?
Yes, sir. Got it.
We had you on, what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
About a month ago? And
yeah,
we were talking all these medical things, supplies, and we were talking again how we wanted to blend that into my concepts of, not my concepts, but what I've always talked about, bug out body,
mm-hmm,
bug out bag, bug out vehicle. And just to clarify, ladies and gentlemen,
just want to let her have that one, because that one's not.
All right, we're going to move mics around because something's not working here. Okay. That doesn't look pretty, though, Trey. Okay, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Okay, the bug out body is the essentials that you would need on yourself that I would think you'd want to carry on yourself on a daily basis just in case something happens, like if you got a medical problem, you want to have some type of medicine to cover it. But to give you an example of what I'm talking about, a bug out body, when I'm walking around, I've got money, I got my phone, I got a couple knives on me. If I'm allowed to carry my weapon, I'll carry my weapon. And anything else that pertains to me, credit card, phone numbers that I might need down the road that are not in the phone but on paper. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, Connie, how do you want to start this? Do you want to just go starting with the body and then move on and talk about the things that you feel are important to have, necessary to have?
Sure, yeah. So I always tell everybody, like, you want to customize it for yourself, right? Especially for your body, that's for you. Now, if you have a child, you're responsible for the child as well. So mm-hmm, if you're a parent, then yourself is an extension of your child. But mostly yourself. If you have specific medical conditions, like if you have a severe allergy to something and you want your EpiPen on you. You want, if you're diabetic, you want to have anything, you know, most likely glucose, right? That's going to be the most immediate thing that's a danger to you.
Can you explain what those are? Some people might need certain things. For example, like the EpiPen, I know there's alternatives to it. Maybe somebody hasn't actually gone to a doctor and got a prescription of getting one of those, mm-hmm, and they can use something that works for them. Bee stings is a good example.
Right.
Is there any, what are these terms that you're saying? What do they mean? So somebody may say, oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, so epinephrine is a medication used to treat severe allergic reactions like anaphylaxis. So if you have it, you'll know. It's not something, but you can become allergic to anything at any time. So that you could have an anaphylactic reaction to something that you've been exposed to in the past. You can have an anaphylactic reaction to something because you've never been exposed to it. Some of the most common and severe are latex allergies, peanut allergies, generalized nuts in general are usually pretty severe. Those are the ones where your airway swells, different foods, bees.
I got stung by a bee and my face, hands swelled up. I was like, oh my gosh, I can feel the restrictions already.
Right. So some people, it's just enough of an allergy that you break out in hives and you can take some Benadryl and then you're fine. Some people, it's very quick and it causes swelling in your airway. If your airway swells, close and you can't breathe. So what they use to treat that is an epinephrine. So at the hospital, we have it in vials. We draw it up. We know the dose and all that. But a normal person's not going to know the dose. So they have EpiPens. And they're auto injectors, which means they're spring loaded. You can inject them right through your clothes. You go right in the middle of your thigh and you slam it down and you hold it for 10 seconds. And that spring loaded needle injects, it's preloaded with the right amount of medicine and it just automatically delivers it. It works very quickly.
Can somebody get it just for general purpose? Because you just
said. You have to get a prescription.
Okay, but you just said that you could all of a sudden become allergic to something.
Right.
Could somebody just get one to have it on standby?
Like to have it in their bag? Mm-hmm. Sure, you could talk to your doctor about that. I mean, it's not a controlled substance. It's not something that they're going to be like, oh, we're going to go and sell that on the street. Or it's for medical emergencies. So, I mean, it's life-saving. Now they're making like insulin for diabetics. That you can get that without a prescription. You can go to a pharmacy and buy it. So they're kind of moving towards the life-saving stuff without having to have prescriptions because people aren't always able to get prescriptions and see a doctor, but they need those things.
What would be an equivalent to the EpiPen? Like I mentioned, I use Benadryl for me. Some people say the strips are better, the liquid's better, the pills are okay as long as they're the capsulated form. So is there any difference to that?
If you have an allergic reaction to where your airway is swelling, an oral medication it's not going to hurt you. I mean, I would try whatever I had. I would probably take Benadryl with my EpiPen because that kind of works on a different level as well. So you can do Benadryl. A lot of people don't know like your gastric medicines like Pepcid. There's a lot of the generic forms, which are always cheaper versions like Omeprazole, Famotidine. So like any of your antacid medicines are a different class of histamine blockers, which is what Benadryl is. It's a histamine blocker. There's class 1 and 2. We're going to get into all of that, but they work as well. So we give those medicines for allergic reactions. So you can take Benadryl, Famotidine, Zyrtec.
The reason I'm asking
all that together
is a guy most likely doesn't have a purse. Okay, most guys don't carry purses. They carry a wallet in their pants, pockets, and all that kind of stuff. A woman, however, because you made the comment about children, usually the children are with the women, usually.
Right.
And usually a woman usually has a purse, so she can probably store a lot more stuff in there. So if we want to streamline it for a gentleman or anybody who doesn't carry a purse and they just have the clothes on their backs and pockets, the EpiPen comes in a little case from what I remember.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So they're awkward to carry.
Right. I think you can get a prescription to get the vials, too, which are smaller. But, of course, then you need the needle and you need to be able to draw up. You can have this all pre-calculated so that it's like in a laminated card or something you keep in your wallet so you know exactly how much. Or even I've seen where you can draw a line on the syringe. You're like, I pull up this much, so it's dummy-proof. You know what I mean?
And now,
this syringe is for this medicine, and this is how far I need to pull it up.
Now, we're saying this because we're talking about the bug-out body.
Right.
When we get to the bug-out bag, then we can talk about different things. But right now, we got to streamline it. We're working every day, doing our thing every day. We got to carry our supplies with us. That's immediate supplies to get us to our bug-out bags.
Right.
So when we're talking about the alternatives for your EpiPen, and it is the Benadryl or whatever, you can get them in capsule forms that maybe you can put in your pocket and stuff like that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What about alternatives for, like, rescue inhalers?
Really, I mean, as far as like those are bronchodilators. Those open up your airways. There's not really any substitute for that. I mean, you have to get the medication. I mean, for that medicine, there's nothing over the counter that's equivalent. Yeah. I mean, the Benadryl and stuff, that'll help, get rid of the allergic reaction. So if you're having, wheezing in your lungs from that will help with that. Now, the oral medication is not as fast acting as IV. Also steroids, if you have like you can get a prescription for some oral steroids. If you have allergies like that, that would be something I would want to keep in my bag. So I have allergies.
So what does a steroid actually do? What's it doing to you? Because I know I've
taken steroids. It reduces inflammation.
It can make you alter your states of mind, can it?
Some people are very sensitive to it. It can make some people very agitated.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me.
You get It's different than like anabolic steroids, like for muscle, like for bodybuilders and stuff like that. Some people, it makes me feel great. I have energized. It will give you more energy. Your body naturally produces steroids in the morning. So if you're on steroids, they tell you take it in the morning because it can keep you up at night, keep you from sleeping. But if you are sensitive to it, or if, you know, you're maybe your body's naturally, you know, steroid level is already high and you're on more steroids. Some people get really agitated. Some people feel like they're very anxious and will be very snappy, to put it nicely.
I'm laughing because that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's not just you. That's a very common side effect.
Okay, time's ticking. So let's move on from the bug out body to our next step would be the bug out bag.
Okay.
And I've got mine here. I want to show it because you'll be seeing this on the video probably Tuesday or so. But this is my bug out bag, and I'm going to try and describe it to you. I try to keep the bag narrower than my shoulders, and I try to keep it as flat and close to my back as possible. I don't want this big monstrosity of a thing sticking way out because then it causes the weight balance on your body to be awkward. So I like to keep it what they call light and tight. Just put in there what I need, keep it light, compress it down, and all that. And what I did also, Connie, we were talking about this. I drew a diagram of my bug out bag to illustrate it here on the show. And what I did was I drew it from the front view. And when you see the video, you'll see the highlighted mark is the middle pouch. And then the next diagram shows it on the side. And once again, there's the highlighted mark, the middle pouch. And then the last diagram was to the rear of the pouch. What's very important is to have a list of what you have in your bag so that you're not saying, oh, I don't know if I've got it or not. You may have to search for it, but you won't have to if you write it down properly, which we were talking about now. So let's intertwine what you think's important to have in a bug out bag. Well, and then we can basically say, based on the pouch, for example, let me give you one example. Here's a list of what I have in my bag. The front top pouch, it's my quick access stuff. iPhone accessories, battery pack, dental floss, ibuprofen, Q-tips, Benadryl strips for the reason we just mentioned. And I got a water faucet adapter in case I'm needing water. There's plenty of buildings around with faucets, but they don't have the handles on them because I don't want people tapping into it. But if I need some water, I've got an adapter for it. So it just tells me where it's at and what I've got. So Connie, what kind of things in a medical sense, since we have a little bit more room, would you want to carry?
Well, first of all, I would laminate your list because if that's what you're going to be looking at, like, you know what's in your bag, you know what's in there, but in an emergency situation or a situation where you need something quick, your brain kind of shuts off and goes back to basic instincts, and you don't want to pull your list out and it's soaking wet and you're screwed because you have no idea where the thing is you need.
Right.
So laminate it, and it's cheap, it's easy, doesn't take very long. And it will solve a lot of problems. second of all, I would keep my tourniquet somewhere, like probably tied to my bag, because that's probably the number one thing that will kill you.
You made a big issue out of that last time, having the tourniquet.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, knowing how to use it and when to use it is very important as well. But that, and then probably quick clot dressing and knowing how to use that. A lot of people misuse that.
Clarify quick clot dressing.
So you can actually buy it at Walmart, and you can buy it at Academy. You can order it online. There's a lot of like tactical stores that sell it. It's military based. They have a bunch of different brands. Quick clot is just one of them. Basically it's a hemostatic dressing that has a chemical in it that reacts with your blood to clot.
Is it like cauterizing and heating up?
It does get hot. So if you use it correctly, you will feel it get hot if it's good, you know.
When would you recommend the use of that type of thing? A major cut, a gunshot wound?
Right. So if you have, for example, I've seen people that were breaking into something or for some reason put their arm through glass, and it just kind of shreds you and cuts up all over. Those are not always something you can get direct pressure on everything, right? So you put this quick clot dressing and you hold it, and the technique for it is thumb over thumb. So you put thumb into a wound. So say you have your arm here and you have a cut. You want to get the dressing, and sometimes it's in a strip. Sometimes it's like a little hacky sack. Do not open the hacky sack and pour the powder into the wound. That's terrible. Don't do that. But you take the strip and you literally stick it in there. You fold it over, stick it in, thumb over thumb, and you hold it. This is how you hold direct pressure. Some people want to do this. You're not doing anything.
She's demonstrating. It'll be in the video come Tuesday.
When you put your palm flat over something, that's not effective. It's better than nothing, I suppose, but it's not going to do anything. You want to put your thumb directly to where you see the most bleeding coming from. There might be blood all over his arm, but this is where I see the blood coming from. Thumb over thumb. And you just keep putting that dressing a few times, and then you hold it. That quick clot dressing, you'll hold for like a minute, 45 seconds to a minute on there, and you will feel it start getting hot. That is supposed to do that. That's the chemical reaction. Okay. But you can get them all over the place, and I would recommend having something like that in your bag, because that's just going to buy you time to get somewhere.
And the other essentials of life would be water. You were talking about this.
Exactly. Well. Water. There's like the Life Straw. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never personally used one, but I think they're awesome. It's basically a straw that has a filtration built into it. You can drink out of a pond.
It's not meant for high volume. It's meant for portability.
Right.
And emergency aspects. So you have something like you can drink out of puddles, ponds,
yeah,
swamp water, you know, something.
Yeah.
Then we got fire, heat, warmth, right? We want to have some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any other key elements within the confines of a bug out bag that we may not be thinking about? You got the tourniquet, you've got medications. Anything else we're missing?
I would have like plastic sheeting or plastic bags or something like that. There's a lot of different things like that you can use for multiple different things and kind of make into something else that you want.
Go, clarify, because you can use that plastic for sucking chest wounds.
Right.
Why don't you explain to people again the concept of a sucking chest wound and why the plastic is important for that aspect?
Right. So you have a sucking chest wound, if you don't know, is like if you have penetrating trauma, like if you get stabbed or shot in your chest, and basically air is coming through the hole into your chest where it's filling around your lung. So air is not supposed to go around your lung. So when it does, it causes your lung to collapse. If it's collapsed, then you don't get air in, which is not good. So basically, you want to stop that immediately. That's the first thing that you can do. You want to put your hand over it, something that's going to seal it. But you can't sit there with your hand over it all day.
We got a hole here. Now we're not putting our thumb over.
No.
We're putting our palm on there.
This is to seal air from going through. This is not to stop the bleeding.
Okay.
If you want bleeding, you want direct thumb pressure. Because think about it, if you have a vessel that's bleeding, especially if it's arterial, that's not easy to close off. Our arteries are big and they're very thick-walled. You have to put a lot more pressure to collapse that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about trying to kink a really thick water hose.
Plus, you got a lot more pressure coming on the back side of that, right?
Right. You have a lot of pressure inside it. That's why they're so thick, is because they have to handle that pressure. Mm-hmm. Your veins is going to trickle, and it's a lot easier. You could probably stop venous blood like this squeezing. But if it's arterial, which means you will see spurting, you're going to need direct concentrated pressure over that artery.
Okay.
But as far as the chest wound, you want something that's going to seal it. So your hand will not seal all the way, but it will help. But if you have plastic, what you want to do is basically you're making a valve. So you put the plastic over the wound and you tape three of the sides. So you want the air to be able to come out, but not to come back in.
Right.
Yeah, so you'll put the plastic tight, take three sides of it, so that whenever you take a breath and your lungs work off negative pressure, right? When you take a breath, air will go into your lungs, but not into the wound, because that plastic's going to suck tight to it. And then when you breathe out, or when you breathe in, the air is going to be pushed out of that, and it'll...
Gotcha.
It's like a whoopee cushion.
Okay, sounds good. Is it going to make noise, too?
Possibly. Yeah, right. You'll hear it.
I got about 2 minutes left here. Let's go to the vehicle now. And is there anything that you say, hey, I can just keep it in my car, I don't have to worry about it, but man, it's nice to have it just in case?
As on the medical aspect of that, like you said, EpiPens are kind of hard to carry, but you can carry those in your bag. I would have more supplies for, like, if you need, like, shelter, really, if you're going to have anything like a tent in your trunk. Or anything like that, I would have.
Any type of machinery that you could plug into your cigarette lighter that might help you, like something to help your breathing?
Nebulizer. Right, so if you have asthma...
Nebulizer.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if you have asthma, you can have a nebulizer machine, and you can probably get one of those adapters that will convert to a car. Mm-hmm. and a lot of cars now have the plugs in them, or USB ports or anything like that. So if you have asthma, that would be a great thing to have in there.
What about this? What about with the technology age that we're in? Is there anything we can utilize in that aspect to help save us with doctors, hospitals, communication-wise?
Yeah, you can get basically like on your phone, you can get databases of stuff that has medications, what they're used for. You can look up symptoms and how to treat them, all that kind of stuff. So, you get that on your cell phone, though.
So, if somebody was to come and do first aid on you, let's say some EMT, and they have something on you, maybe a wrist bracelet or your name, they pull up the name, mm-hmm. and there's your history, and they can say...
Well, on your phone, so a lot of people wear medic alert bracelets, which just says, hey, I have a medical condition, I'm allergic to something, or whatever. But on your phone, I know iPhones, I don't know about all the Androids, but they have like your medical ID. You can go in there and you can put, if you're an organ donor, you can put emergency contacts, you can put what medications you take, what surgeries you've had, medical conditions, mm-hmm. What medicines you need, your height, your weight. All of that, and you can access it. Any medical personnel can access it without knowing your passcode. So it's not something that you're going to have to open your phone for necessarily.
It takes the guesswork out of something. Yeah. It saves time, right?
Yeah, if you go to your little health app that has the heart on it, you can enter all that information in, and you can access it from your home screen.
That's fantastic.
Just like your emergency calls.
Connie, I'm out of time. It's always a pleasure to have you on here because I know how busy you are and your work schedule is tight. I appreciate you taking the time to come on out, and I'm sure everybody enjoys it based on the hits we got in the last one. I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy listening to this one, too.
Yeah.
So I can't thank you enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have the awesome Mrs. Key, Cindy Key, Master Cindy Key from Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. See you on the other side.
Today I want to talk about somebody coming up from behind. I think we might have done this before, but I'm going to do a little bit different take on it today. Of course, always pay attention. Hopefully you don't let somebody get close enough to grab you. You know, that's you don't want that. Always pay attention. But let's say you're in a crowd and they do get a hold of you. There's different ways. I think the last time we talked about prepping with a chamber and then punching out. This time I am going to make fists. I'm right-handed, so I want to use my right hand. If you're left-handed, you'd step to the right. I'm right-handed, so I'm going to step to the left. And if I can, I still want to get my hand between his grab and my, to where he can't come up to my throat. I want with a knife hand, but I want to step and I'm going to hammer fist the groin until he loosens up. Probably going to hit him with some elbows, one to the ribs because I'm short, come up to the jaw, grab behind the head. I'm not letting go of this arm because I don't want him to grab me with this hand. All I have to worry about is that one, which I'll hit him with, and I'll bring my knee up to block and hit him in the ribs before he can do that. Probably hit him in the groin again.
Yeah.
And just keep beating him. And as I'm beating him with my knee, I'm getting to the side of him. On the video, you'll be able to see it, but I'm trying to track to where he can't reach me as well with his other hand. The more I
I'm trying to keep myself up, so this hand is occupied.
I'm probably going to attack his arm, too, so he doesn't think about grabbing me. And then I'm going to take his knee out. That I'm going to track. I want to track away from him. I don't want to stay with him behind me like this. I don't want to stay here because the longer I stay here, the more trouble I can get into. So I step, hammer fist that groin to get a reaction, elbow to the ribs or the solar plexus to the face, wrap his head. I still have his hand. Now I'm going to start using my knees. And as I use my knees, I'm tracking away from him toward the arm that I have a hold of so that I can get over here, tack that elbow, take that knee out, maybe give him the last punch.
Wow. But, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you just don't want to stay there because once you stay there, if you stay there, then they grab real tight. Grab tight. Okay, now he can start dragging me. So if I don't make my move and he starts dragging me, now I might be in a different place.
You know what I noticed, Miss Key? You're shorter than me. And so I got to really stoop down low to lock your arms in because I'm up here on your shoulders and I'm going to slip off real easy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to pay attention to it too.
Yes. Sometimes being short is an advantage. Sometimes it is.
Okay. We got a little bit of time left. Do you have anything going on special?
I extend, like I said before, I extended my Christmas special through the month of January, but that's as long as it's going to go.
Okay.
And that's $99 for two-month trial membership, and it's for, of course, new students only. But that's what I've got going on now. If somebody wants to just come learn some self-defense, I would do some private lessons, and it could be like up to four people for that same charge.
Okay.
So they would just need to get with me on that and figure out a time.
And how can they get a hold of you?
My number is 254-721-2775, and you can call or text.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, support Master Key. She does an awesome job. Known her for years. She's very consistent, knows what she's doing. So check her out. If you got some youngins that need some discipline, she can square them away, I'm sure. Well, look, Trey, what do we got? About a minute?
Yeah, about.
All right. With that, I want to just say we had a great time here. It was an awesome show. Check out the videos on YouTube at Aaron's Gun Shop. Should be up probably by Tuesday. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Zillow.
I'm Bill Rakoff. Lava and earthquakes have residents of the Big Island of Hawaii on edge, as CBS's Carter Evans reports.
Please, God. Please make it stop.
The huge earthquake rattled homes and forced people to evacuate just hours after a 5.6 quake hit the same area.
Man, this is crazy. Amazing. We didn't expect it to be here, but I had a feeling.
On Friday, Pahoa resident Ikaika Marzo was recording when lava began to splatter in the residential neighborhood of Leilani Estates.
Then we seen some smoke, so I came up.